In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 15th Sunday of Luke, also known as Zacchaeus Sunday. And like I try and tell everyone every year, when you hit Zacchaeus Sunday, it's like a flare is going up, like someone sets off a firecracker. And why is that? Because that means Lent is around the corner. Now, this year, we're, I guess, a little more fortunate because we still have 3 weeks until we get to the first preparatory Sunday of Great Lent, that of the publican and the Pharisee. So Lent properly has only 6 weeks to go until it starts. But because of this particular day, I think it's important for us to think about the fact that Lent is around the corner, because too often it comes upon us, especially when it's earlier in the year, and it seems like we've just finished Nativity, we've just finished Theophany, and then all of a sudden, their great Lent is. And we know how demanding that is. So it's a good thing to start thinking of it right now. And this is a perfect gospel to begin with also. Zacchaeus, of course, was a tax collector. And I love the way that the gospel emphasizes the fact that he was rich. It says he was a collector and rich. Period. And so the man had a lot of money, but he also had a lot of problems. He was small of stature. And the fathers among the church say that he was also small in spiritual stature as well. So the guy was probably, you know, this tall or something like this. And he had heard of our Lord, obviously. And there was something, there was some kind of kernel residing inside of him, some sort of kernel of truth that was just waiting to explode, waiting to bud forth, as there is in anyone who is a sinner, which is all of us, right? But even those who are far from God, even those who think that they don't need God, are in fact searching for something. And that kernel of truth resides in all of them. Everybody has it, just waiting for the right moment for it to be acted on. And with Zacchaeus, it was the Lord walking through on the road to Jericho. All of a sudden, he hears the crowd. He sees the crowd. He gets excited. What's all of this? What's going on? People swarming the Lord as they were wont to do in those days, wherever he went. And so he feels like he's got to see him, but he can't see him. He's short. All these other people are a lot taller. And there's so many of them. He can't see anything. Who knows if even these people, when they saw him, thought, oh, it's this guy. It's Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I'm not getting out of his way. He's not going to see anything. No way. So Zacchaeus was struggling. He wanted so badly to put his eyes on the Lord, to see what was going on, to see what this man was all about. He was having his Damascus Road experience the way St. Paul did. And so the Lord comes by, but Zacchaeus has an idea. I'll go get in this sycamore tree. That's perfect. That way I'll be able to see him. Perhaps I could even keep hidden from everyone else, and I could kind of gauge what's going on here. But then, to his great surprise, as the Lord walks by, he immediately looks up into that tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree, because I must needs be in your house today. Now just imagine this. Zacchaeus, a man who was very wealthy, had probably cheated a lot of people, was someone that was really disliked, really humbles himself in this instance by climbing up into the tree. It must have looked kind of silly, actually. But yet, when the Lord of heaven and earth, when the Creator of all things visible and invisible, walks by and stares up into his eyes, what love he must have felt at that moment. What a thrill in his soul. How much excitement. He just couldn't believe it. And so he comes down out of the tree. And immediately we hear from the crowd what we always hear from the crowd. Look, that Zacchaeus guy. I mean, nobody likes him, and Jesus is going to his house. Good grief, what's going on? He's going to be with a sinner. And Zacchaeus receives him joyfully into the house. But no doubt hears the murmuring also and thinks, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to restore fourfold to anyone that I have cheated. That was probably a lot of people. And half of all my goods I'm giving to the poor. Because that was the one catalyst Zacchaeus needed in order to come around to faith. It was the one thing that he had been waiting for all his life and he didn't know it. But he did have the gumption to climb up into that tree. And what does the Lord say then? This also is a son of Abraham, and salvation has come to his house. Now we read this sometimes and we think, oh, well, the Lord has saved Zacchaeus. But that's not really what it says, is it? Not at all. We do know that salvation came to the house, but in what form? You see, my brothers and sisters, as we talk about so many times, salvation is not a thing. Salvation is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And so he was right in saying, today, salvation has come to his house. And Zacchaeus took this to heart. And we're lucky in that we don't even have to worry about, you know, what he did from then on. He had to work out his own salvation just like everyone else. But we know for a fact that after the resurrection, Zacchaeus himself became a disciple of the Apostle Peter, who in turn ordained Zacchaeus as the first bishop of Caesarea in Palestine. So we know what happened to him on this day. We know that it turned his life around. We know that the man who was once rich became poor monetarily, but rich in the things of the Spirit. We know that he was someone who humbled himself so much as to get up into that tree, setting an example for all of us also. What would we do? Would any of us climb up into a tree to see the Lord? Especially if you were among a lot of people that actually despised you, that didn't like you at all, that felt you had cheated them, in fact, would probably be willing to take you into court these days. Would you be willing to do that, to humble yourselves in that regard? The gospel passage, it really shows us, you know, a couple of things here. One is that if we are to be with the Lord, if we are to achieve union with Him, we must rise above the crowd. We can't be led by it. We can't go along with it, no matter what it says. That even if it means something very important to us, even if it means we have to sacrifice something, whether money or perhaps our own image in the community or family members, whatever it might be, we have to rise above that in order to be with the Lord, as Zacchaeus did. We have to be looking down on the crowd and looking up to heaven, as Zacchaeus did when he was up in that tree. This is something very, very important. We might not all be asked to sacrifice half of our goods or to restore fourfold to someone whom we had cheated. Though if we think back in our lives, there's probably someone back there that we didn't treat very well, that deserves restitution in some form or the other. But what we absolutely have to do is invite the Lord in graciously and with much joy in our hearts for Him to come and dwell in the house of our souls. This is what is so important about this gospel passage, because one of the other things that it reflects is the fact that that impetus towards coming to Christ that is in all of us, the Lord already knows about this, okay? He plans these things out, if you will. He knew that day that Zacchaeus was in that tree. There was no question about it. He wasn't surprised to look up and all of a sudden think, gee, what's that guy doing up there? No. He came back by that way specifically because he knew Zacchaeus was going to be there. Because he had seen in Zacchaeus' heart what he would do, how he would respond, what a testimony it would be to the idea of repentance and the idea of humility, which are the two foundation stones of all Christian faith. Without those two, you've got nothing, absolutely nothing. Our whole lives are to be that, in the constant exercise of repentance, which brings about the great humility that we have, which is an example showed to us by the Lord over there in that icon on the wall of extreme humility, with the one who went to the grave with his head bowed, who condescended to become one of us for our sake, to take our sinful nature, to recreate it by touching his divinity to it, and then calling everyone to him. This is what Zacchaeus found out. This is what we all have to discover as well. Because it doesn't really matter how often you pray, how often you go to church, how long you've been in the faith, any of these types of things. This constant looking at ourselves to turn ourselves around is something that has to happen all the time. Of course, we have the great paradox of the saints, of course, which is something a lot of people have trouble with, but it's very true, in that the more spiritually oriented you become, the more that you draw closer to Christ, the more divinized you become. Your participation in theosis, the purification, illumination, theosis, the closer you come to grabbing that hem of Christ, the more you realize how sinful you are. And so the ascent goes this way, but the idea of who you are and what a sinner you are goes this way. Because once you realize how far away you are from God, that is the first step towards him exalting you and lifting you up, as we'll find out in the publican and the Pharisee in just a few weeks down the road. So my dear brothers and sisters, let us think of Zacchaeus in a really positive way, okay? Let's not come away from this thinking, well, this was a short guy in a tree, because it was much more than that. This was a man who was a spiritual giant inside, and the Lord was just waiting to break the shell for him to emerge and fly up to heaven. And fly up, indeed, he did. Not only was he the bishop of Caesarea, he was one of the 70, one of the 70 apostles that we read so much about. So Zacchaeus is a man that we should emulate, because we too are rich in so many ways. If you think about it, even though Zacchaeus had all these things back then 2,000 years ago, he didn't have a fraction of what we have today. Not a fraction. And so we too have to be willing, if the Lord requires it, to divest ourselves of anything that's getting in the way of our drawing closer to him. This is what is required. This is what orthodoxy is all about. As we heard, for those of you who were on it yesterday for the winter retreat that we had, it's becoming Christ-like. Bishop Nicholas has hammered this into us over and over again. That's our whole goal, becoming Christ-like. Nothing else in this world matters. Nothing. Because if you become Christ-like on that last day, that great and fearful day of judgment, he's going to look at you and he's going to see a reflection of him. And he's going to know that you are part of him and then bring you into his heavenly kingdom. That's what he wants for everyone. That's what he wants for every person in this parish. And Zacchaeus shows us how it's to be done. Let us imitate him and the things that he has done and draw near to Christ every moment of our lives. Amen.